Got a mind of their own. Did everybody sign the, can I sign all the forms over there? Okay, roll call of members of Treasurer Hernandez.
Here.
Vice Chair Ramos.
Here.
Board Member Dolores.
Present.
Board Member Madera.
Present.
Item one, certification that the agenda was posted at least 72 hours before the meeting at Shaw Market, Biola Community Center, in Biola Post Office, and was signed by the Secretary to the Board by Elaine Cervantes, and was acknowledged to the Board President as being correct.
Yes.
Okay.
And neither the chair.
What's that? Adoption of the agenda, regular meeting, June 25th, 2015. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda for June
25th, 2015. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
All right, those opposed, same sign. Request to address the board. This portion of the meeting is reserved for members of the public to address the board on items of interest that are not on the agenda and are within the subject matter of the board. All right. Item four, consent calendar. Item A, approval of minutes of regular meeting.
Excuse me, sir. This is one motion for all five of those things. We don't talk about these. It's one motion for all five and move on to the next.
Okay.
That's the whole idea of consent.
Let me start over again. Let me start over again. Consent calendar. Do I have a motion to accept all these five items as listed?
And read them.
Do I have to read them?
No, actually you don't. They're already on the agenda.
I'll make a motion to accept all five, A through E, the consent calendar.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
No old business. Item six, new business. Vote for the 2015 CSDA Board of Directors, California Special District Association.
There's, you've all got a ballot in your packet. And basically, as a board, we get to, the CSDA asked us to vote for either Joel Bauer from the Westside Cemetery District or Walter Ritchie from the Bear Valley Community Services District. Joel Bauer is the incumbent. He's been on there a long time. Walter Ritchie, I believe, is the new guy who's been on the Bear Valley board for a little while. He's they both had little statements of why you should vote for them. The way this works is, as a district, we vote for somebody. We get one vote, because we're members. So it's not five votes, you have to vote on which one. So we need a motion to vote for Joel or a motion to vote for Walter.
Just one motion?
No.
A motion and a second.
No. Well, yes, one motion, you have either.
Yeah.
Pick one and then
pick one and someone has to motion for one of the guys.
Okay, do I hear a motion to vote for these two people?
What do we know about them?
Just what's on here.
You got the handout, right?
Yeah.
On their background.
One guy worked for the cemetery.
Yeah.
The other guy's like us, board member.
Well, I think one of them has been there a while. He's been serving on the CSDA board
That's
of directors.
Bauer.
And the other one is new, wanting to unseat him. So you were basically talking about the veteran or the new guy?
Or the underdog.
So do we have a motion?
Yeah, do we have a motion?
Well, I already
voted. Yeah. Rudy makes a motion for Joel.
Okay.
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Well, they have to say, what do you think?
You already seconded.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
It's on the table.
Okay.
Now they have to vote on it. I vote yes.
Okay.
You vote yes. We need one more.
What do you say?
Or go the other way.
I don't know. Which one, Joel?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter to me. I just pick one guy. I really don't know.
You really don't know any of them. So you just got basically you're picking. Do you want a veteran or a new guy?
Just like
the one that I liked, I think was more Joel, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, that's the motion for Joel.
All right. Joel, go.
All right, go ahead. Get to go.
Rudy motioned it. Mercedes second for
big?
Joel Bauer.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? I was throwing a curve in left to left field, man. I mean.
Well, we could have just had to cast your votes individually. We just collected them, and whoever got the most, we would.
That would have been the best thing to do. I mean, just forget about this.
Yeah.
Nobody would have ever known about it. But us.
Okay.
Okay. Item B, approval of 2015-2016 budget.
This is the main thing we really have to talk about today. My plan and how to do this is I want to walk through the documents I sent you. I want to walk through them all bit by bit, and I want to talk about them. That was my plan.
I don't have the budget in front of me.
Well, it'll be up on the screen. Just follow along with me up on the screen.
Yeah, I need the one too. Bring it.
We didn't get one.
Okay.
We didn't get one.
Oh, we didn't get one?
Yeah.
We got them right now.
We sent them last night.
You got it in the mail. You got an email last
night. I still can't get no emails.
I was looking in my packet. I was wondering why we didn't have it.
I don't even have a computer.
You
should have
got it last night in your email.
I didn't check my email. You know what? I only got two.
Sally got it.
Yeah, I don't even have a computer when I got it. People with computers didn't even get it.
Okay.
I can't even get the website.
But basically, I wrote a little. I kind of followed the same template that Jeff Johnson used with you last year. But I, as I said in my note, but I streamlined a little bit. But I started out with just a little note from me talking about, you know, summarizing some of the things we've done in the last 7 months. Storage units, sidewalks, painting, conference room. You know, we reviewed all of our bills from operations, utilities, phones. And we're looking for ways to reduce expenses. And as we go along further, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But we think the things we've done just on our electric bill alone is going to result in over $6,000 in electric bills for next year in terms of setting stuff up. We got a new logo. We got a new website coming up very soon. We've looked at all of our internal processes, payroll, accounts payable, billing, trying to be more efficient and effective. The big water line project is complete for all intents and purposes, and we got two more big projects this calendar year, this fiscal year too, that are in the works. Yes?
The water line for West G Street and East Street, that was before the sidewalk project, so that was the year before.
Well, what I'm saying, they're in the pipeline.
They haven't started yet.
Right, and they will be completed this year. So we got two major construction events in 15-16.
Being the water lines, both water lines.
The E Street water line and the G Street water line. That's one project.
Oh, it is.
That's considered one. And this one this year, by all in third, were considered two projects. They had to bill them separately, and they'd be accounted for separately. But this one will be a one project.
This was just from G Street down E Street.
It's going to be on G from, I think it's 4th to past 3rd, all the way like over to the county yard. Anyway, there's that stretch. And then E is kind of a bigger deal. Unlike all the other ones, there's no water line on E between Biola and, what's the next one over?
Fifth.
Fifth. So between E and Fifth,
that way.
It's only half the distance. So they're going to replace one and then keep going where there's nothing. So it'll create a new flow of water in town, the E Street one.
You know, I don't even recall funding for that.
It was part of the...
This was combined together, G and E. Is that what it
yes.
is?
Yes.
It's all one.
Oh, okay.
Let me show you something real quick. But it's a map that shows the water lines. So it'll give you a good sense of, there we go. Node locations, master plan.
Can you guys see that, or do you want the light off?
Well, I can blow it up here a little bit too. See where it kind of that little
cubicle
deal here?
Up to that little alley, huh?
Yeah. It's going to connect that space right there.
Oh. Well, it's only like a 200-foot connection, then.
Well, it's going to go beyond that. Actually, this doesn't really show.
Can't focus. Make that enlarged if you click on that. Like a zoom.
Let me see if I can zoom it one more time. That's not it. There we go.
That's good enough.
That's the one. This is the design of the new one. Okay, fourth. D. This right here. E. It'll be this line right here, with this year's project, and this line right here, from 4th down to 2nd.
But that's a combined project.
Yes, that's one project, this line and this one.
Well, that one right there on each...
That one was designed by Beth.
This one here?
Mm-hmm. Probably. This one was designed by Beth.
Probably. No, trying to eliminate that water hammer.
Is that water?
Yes.
Also, she included, just made it one project.
Right, this was with by Beth.
That's what we hope.
This was when she started with the master plan. Right after she finished the master plan, she went with this.
Oh. Well, see, we just did this line right here, right?
Yeah.
And we did this line right here.
Right.
This year we're going to do this one and this one. Mm-hmm. So the only red lines we got left, this one we just did. The only red lines we got left is 5th and D.
Right.
So we're going to apply for a CDBG, our next CDBG project will be applied to get our last two high priority water lines completed. And then we will have done all of the red. Then the other thing that we're working on is to get another grant through the State Revolving Fund that replaces all the rest of these priority two lines, mm-hmm. plus all the valves, hydrants, and meters on every account, new meters. So that's the plan. But I want to be able to get this one out of the way with CDBG and do the other one. Oh, and also storage tanks. We'd like to apply for some storage tanks that would go over by well four.
I think they only do one now project, don't they, Gabe?
They do, depending on how much money they get. If they get $500,000, they'll split it. And they'll give it to two.
Well, Biola got two.
Two communities.
Well, it makes sense to me to go for these.
16, 17, they're taking proposals now. I think they're.
August is the deadline.
The end of August. They're having a workshop at some time during this, before the 31st, and on the 8th floor, the planning department.
Right.
They sent me the letter, but I didn't bring it with me. I'm sure you guys know about it.
We were noticed, yes.
That's for the 16-17.
But ideally, we would get basically all of our... this was a 20-year master plan done in 2012. If we can knock most of this stuff out in the next 2 years, we're way better. Way better. The 20-year plan has us going out of town because they basically guessed that there'd be growth outside of our current borders. And they basically, the 20-year plan has us running water lines over to the Merida Ranch and the Sawwassers and taking in everywhere around. I mean, you've got this green basically represents future
growth.
Yeah, to handle future growth, conducting loops. Now, with the drought that we're in, the likelihood of this happening is pretty low, in my opinion. But Blair Church of Flynn, I don't know if Beth did this or Cassie or Dave Mowry, who over there actually did the work on this, but that's the thinking behind this document here, is that to plan for growth in 20 years out, you would want to be thinking about water outside the current boundaries of Biola. So
that growth on the outside of Biola would probably bring in more housing, especially along the Merida side of the Biola.
Well, right, and you've got this whole section over here, you know, next to the new houses, that whole area. That would kind of complete the square from Howard to Shaw to Third. That would be the next most logical ground to become housing, because it is already in our sphere of influence. And that's a lot of housing, right, in that vineyard right there.
34 acres.
Because to the north, you'd have to cross the street to Shaw.
Correct. We'd have to cross the street to Shaw, but that's what engineers do, is they plan for that kind of thing. So my guess is when you did a 20-year plan in 1982, it probably looked like this too. So anyway, that is coming this year. And I spent the afternoon down at the courthouse today because this other grant that we're applying for, the California Rural Water Association, is working with us, and Betsy Lichty down at the State Water Board is really, really supportive of this. But it's all about three phases. We're talking about getting a planning grant with three construction grants. The planning grant alone, you're looking at probably a minimum of $150,000 minimum to do the engineering to set up the three construction projects. Project one would be the rest of the water lines and the valves. Project two would be the meters. And project three would be the storage tanks. And so the engineer, you know, so the first step, so we're in the process. But one of the things they said is the state revolving fund, you have to prove that you actually own the land where the wells are. And we couldn't find the deeds. The only way to prove that you own the land is you got to produce a deed. So we went down to the courthouse to look up the deeds. And I learned all kinds of things about Biola Community Services, which got our history, which I'll share for a later time. I don't want to talk about now. But anyway, it's a big part of this. But we've got some people, some very good people working with us. Our new engineers, Gary Horn, Horn and Yamabe Horn, are working with us on this project also. But this is a big one in the works, and we just talked about that. Again, second priority, water lines. We talked about the different water lines, in essence, what I just said. And then the other one, and I mentioned this too, working about the possibility of a recycling plant, recycling water at the wastewater treatment plant. And that's a bigger deal, and I'm really, we talked about this last month, and I don't have any new things to report on that. In this budget, we have a number of smaller capital projects. I want to go over those again in a minute. The budget, when we throw all the projects in, it really is not exactly. So we will potentially be spending some money out of our reserves, especially if we have to meet some of the matching funds for some of these grants. This last project, the Biola Street, the bids came in low, and so the county is paid for almost all of that. I haven't got all the final numbers calculated because we had some change orders for a number of different reasons. Things they found, that line that went under the apartments was a problem that they didn't know about. There was a couple other lines they didn't know about, things they found on the way. And so there's about $12,000 in change orders that got approved and is being processed by the county. How that ends up, you know, on the bottom line, I'll have all that for you next month. But I think we're still in pretty good shape because they came in so much further, like 30 grand under the bid limit. Staffing-wise, we're going to talk about some of that in closed session. But one of the things I wanted to point out, the new law takes effect on July 1st on sick leave. Until July 1st, 2015, part-time people were not allowed to have any sick leave by law. The new law says that you have to pay for every 30 hours of work, an employee has to earn 1 hour of sick leave. And so you can grant more than that if you want, but that's the minimum. So if you work a 40-hour week, that means you get an hour and a little over an hour of sick leave paid for by the district. So when we do all the math on that, we're looking at around $1,500 of new expenses in this next year's budget that we didn't have this in the past. So it's basically a law that's going to require all employers who have part-time people to pay a little bit more. and staffing. I wanted to go over these. Capital projects. This John Deere Gator service vehicle. I got three quotes, one for about $8,000, one for about $10,000, and one for $12,000. And I'm still in the process of trying to sort out what makes a what the $12,000 one has that the $8,000 one doesn't have, and why we should spend a little bit more. But that's a placeholder. We want to put in a small storage unit, a C-train, out at the treatment plant next to our current one, our 40-foot one. We want to have a roll-up door, and we want to have that'll be the base for this service vehicle. And we'll use it around town, primarily at the treatment plant, but also at the wells. And, you know, Flynn will use it when she checks meters. So it'll be a big addition. But one of the big things is driving regular cars on those roads out at the treatment plant are kind of hard on the roads. And so we're a little nervous about continued, you know, Bill comes in his pickup truck, and Jared has his truck, and Carlos has his car, and they're all significantly heavier than a Gator would be. So
would a golf cart work just as good as that up there?
We looked at those, and we're thinking, you know what? We want to have something that's more durable, and it's a power thing. We can buy a gas or a diesel. We already have diesel out there for the generators that we use.
Yeah, but you're just going to use it for driving. It's not like you'll be towing anything.
No, it will tow. It'll tow the wheat sprayer, which is not real heavy, but it will tow the trailer of that, and it could tow a little trailer for hauling trash and stuff. It'll have a bed on it. It's a hydraulic bed that will dump small stuff. But it's been a long time coming, and we needed to have a place to store it. And power-wise, you know, I didn't really want to, as the other did, wasn't crazy about a golf cart, electric-wise. But I'd like to get that going. A sound wall, that's been in the works for a while. I can't remember who the neighbor is there, but he'll be...
Herman Dean.
She will be really happy to have... and it'll be kind of shaped, it'll be at the end of that exhaust or that pipe, there'll be a wall, a straight wall, and then two angled pieces. So to kind of corral the sound, in addition to just stopping that big blast of water that occasionally comes when a pump hits so hard. So that should be a positive thing for the neighborhood over there. Basically what we'll do is we'll sink some holes and then put some sleeves in it and then connect it so that it's a removable one in case we need to bring in a vehicle to service the pump. We don't want that wall to be in the way. So we want to be able to remove it for service options. But Jared and his guys are going to do that. We're going to buy the materials and Carlos and Bill and then we're going to put it in and we think to save some money. Jared has a lot of the tools for the treatment plant are in the C-train that's out there, and they don't belong to us. They belong to him. And so $1,000 gets us enough tools so he can take his own tools home, and we'll own the tools there.
But I thought part of his contract was for him to provide his own tools since he's...
Yeah.
It's actually not part of his contract, no.
No?
At least I didn't read it that way. It's in there, I missed it. But it's better for us to have our own stuff. I threw this one in. I got a quote on what it would take to replace the... We have two units on top of this building. A 12.5-ton unit for this room and a 3-ton unit for the office and the hallways. They're the original units. They're 23 years old, and the air conditioning people tell me that the life of an air conditioner is normally about 15, 17 tops. So we're 6 years over in terms of the life of these units up here. The newer ones use significantly less energy, but they don't use so much less that we'd make up, we could buy 22, you know, buy new ones and get it back. It takes a long time to get
back. What are you trying to do? You're going to set money aside in case one of them does break?
Correct. Correct. I'm in the drive until they die philosophy.
In other words, when they die, though,
I want to have some money to.
You can worry about putting money aside and not even use it for another year or two.
Correct.
Or three.
Correct. So I want to put that in the budget for that possibility. One oil arose. I probably guessed a little high on this. I think we could probably get it done for $6,000. But Jared's guys will help do that.
What is that again?
Basically, put oil on the roads at the treatment plant. And you know, it's all like gravel and dirt and packed in. We fight with gophers. We've had some washouts. And so this binds that road a lot stronger and I think gives them a longer life and less better for maintenance. So that's something I want to get done actually this summer. And it's better to do this actually when it's warm. And so July is the end of, we're talking about doing this at the end of July. This one is a big project. Most agencies or organizations or school districts or whatever that have a lot of parking lots put in an asphalt maintenance plan over time. The county has roads maintenance plans that when they pave a road, you know, they put money aside for X number of years, the life of a road, for example. Well, the life of a parking lot, we're way past that, quite frankly. If you don't maintain it, do some resurfacing at certain scheduled times, the asphalt breaks down and it makes it harder to bring it back and keep it going. So generally speaking, you want to have a pavement plan for a parking lot. And we haven't had one. I believe we're looking at the original asphalt, 22 years old. We're due. So I think we can extend the life of that if we'll resurface it. Now that's I didn't get an actual quote, so I don't know that that's an actual.
Well, it may be a lot less than this.
It could be less, yes. I think I guessed a little high. But they come out and they patch and then they slurry seal and then repaint the lines and everything. So basically, bring new life to your parking lot.
Just a question.
Sure.
With the county, you could pay the county so you could recycle funds. And two, maybe it could be.
Wait, say that again?
The county.
What about the county?
The county resurfaces roads, parking lots, nature.
I asked them about that, and they said no.
Even if
I asked the supervisor at the Biola place.
Right, but even if it was for pay, I mean, for...
Yeah, actually, that's what I asked. I said, we'll pay you. I'm not asking you to do it for nothing. And he said, no, we contract that stuff out.
Well, you know, Larson told us, and I think you were there when he told us, that, you know, it would behoove us to even consider the county as part of the maintenance people that we hire to do work around the city that has to do with the streets.
Well, they already know they're responsible for the streets in Biola. The county is, not us. The county actually has a paving. These are county roads. Every road in Biola is a county road.
Well, but I'm talking about like sidewalks and parking lots, stuff like that. They do that, and they know the rules and regulations that go with it.
Well, I will check with them. But when I spoke with them the first time, I got the impression, because that was my plan, actually, because I thought, hey, they're a bunch of county guys.
Maybe you should talk to the supervisor first.
You have to go to, like, Weaver or somebody like that that has authority to make that kind of decision. I don't think that they have that authority here. I don't know that.
Well, he wasn't really talking with, like, he had authority or not. He was basically saying, we don't do that. The county doesn't do that. We contract that out. He said, by the time you paid for all the extra labor costs, county labor is really expensive, more expensive than private labor. And so you lose money on labor, but you maybe gain money on materials. But his implication was you're better off just go hire a private contractor to come do it. So, I mean, that was a conversation I had months ago. But yeah, I could talk to Alan or Bernard Jimenez and ask them. But if we can pull that off, I'd like to do that this year. I think it's the responsible thing to do. We are ready to close the deal. We've been getting quotes for months on that, the soft start to upgrade the electrical panel at Well 3 from 1970s electricity to or components to 21st century stuff.
Now, is that the exact cost, or is that just another ballpark figure?
Well, we got a quote for $27,000. We got another quote for $18,000. We got a third quote for $13,000. And I was trying to get somebody who knew a lot more than I do to tell me, is that $13,000 quote for real? Is that really an apples-to-apples quote? How can one guy charge, do it for $13,000 and somebody else do it for $27,000? It's like double.
Maybe your engineer can help you there.
Well, Jared actually had talked to all of the other quotes, and he finally got heard back from the low one, and he's going, hey, they're it's legit.
For 13?
Yeah. So yeah, I expect not to spend that much money. But I wrote this before I heard from Jared. And that's a placeholder in case, depending on how the bids come in on the grant. If it comes in over what the grant allows, then we have to pick up the difference. And so that may or may not be a real deal.
Now this number 9, that's for which one?
The E&G waterline project. I don't remember the grant we got funded for, but say we got funded for $300,000.
I think it's for $250, wasn't it, Gabe?
$280.
I don't know.
$280.
But our
CDBG was $280?
I believe so.
Okay. That was for the waterline?
I believe so.
Okay. Combined. So if it comes in at $280, if the bid comes in at $270, we're fine. If it comes in at $310, we're going to need some cash.
Yeah.
And so this is just a placeholder to say it just in case. It's the environment is still pretty competitive for bidding and stuff, so we got a shot at not needing it. So anyway, these are the some of the things that are kind of significant that we'll keep moving on.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Do we have an approximate amount that we used or that we spent or allocated towards capital projects and fixed assets for last year? Because I know your total number here is 114,000.
Right. We had 102 last year.
Okay.
Is what Jeff put in the budget.
Okay.
And we spent, of that 102, we spent...
Isn't that in your profit and loss?
30? Not in that one. It was in an email that I sent you before. But of that 102, you know, 12,000 was in the storage units. 8,000 was sidewalks. We had 20,000 in the budget last year for improvement here. He had another 8,000 in painting and stuff around the community center. But we spent our 12,000 on the storage units and a little more, but with the sidewalks and stuff. But we didn't spend 8,000 in that he had in the budget for the sidewalks. We spent 3 for the sidewalk out front. That cost about 3,000, and he budgeted 8. So between we had enough money in the budget to do all the sidewalks and the storage units. But that was 20-something thousand. And then the other things he had in there, monitoring wells, the service vehicle. He wanted to buy a new trailer. He wanted to put some safety features in at the wastewater treatment plant, which I never figured out what he meant, to Drew.
So he had already had money set aside?
He had put money in the budget to do all these things. He had also talked about the monitoring wells at the treatment plant, and we're in the process of trying to figure that out. But there are 3 or 4, I'm not sure actually, pipes that are sticking out of the ground. One is that right as you drive in the gate, kind of to the right. Another one is next to the house by the vines. You know that house that's next to our vines between the gate and the house? There's a little pipe, yellow pipe sticking up. Okay, and then there's another one on the backside of the, on the west side of the treatment plant. And there's supposedly there's a fourth one, but I don't know where it is. What those pipes are, you're supposed to hire somebody to come out. There's a tube that goes down to the groundwater, and you're supposed to suck up groundwater and then have it tested to make sure that none of your sewage is getting into the groundwater and polluting it. Okay? Well, and again, I don't know because we haven't had somebody come out and verify this.
You know, but that wouldn't have any effect on this groundwater because you're talking about at that end, there's, except for the homes that the farmers live in.
Well, apparently, though, the last time I checked, you can't get any water out. There's no, they're supposed to like suck up water to test it. And they put the little thing on there to suck it up, this is what I'm told, and nothing comes out. So we're supposed to invest some money in fixing that so that we can get to our groundwater. And Jeff had put money in the budget to do that. I just now am figuring out what that even means.
This is the first time I heard of it.
Yeah,
never mentioned it last year, did he?
Nope.
You've heard of those pipes though, right?
Nope.
No, you're not even aware of them?
Nope.
No.
Huh. I know we got some monitoring stations, those green boxes.
Yeah. But he didn't say anything about pipes in the ground.
I didn't say nothing about the surface.
Well, these are, they're called monitoring wells. And they got a little, they're a tube. You lift up the top, and there's a plastic thing in the middle of this pipe. And some guy comes out, and they suck whatever they can get out of there, and then you have to send it to the lab to get tested. Anyway. We may have to, we're still in the process. I'm working with Jared to run down the details of this and how you're supposed to fix it. But nobody checks. That's part of the problem. We have a license to have a sewer plant from the State Water Resources Control Board, right? They have 700 clients or sewage plants in their region that they have to monitor. They don't get around everybody. Okay? So apparently we're supposed to send this to somebody and somebody's supposed to check it. And you know, there's a box on a form that somebody's supposed to do. But because they have so many, this is my speculation. I don't know all this, why they don't know, but nobody checks. But if somebody checks, we can be in trouble. If we can't find any water to test.
I guess we're lucky nobody checks it then.
Well, I don't know. I don't have any history
well, this is the first
of anybody checking.
Me too.
I never heard
of it. You've been around since the 70s and you've never heard that?
No.
Seriously.
Never. Unless it's something new that was added later.
It probably was, actually.
Well, I don't think it was.
Those pipes are not that old.
Okay, then. That sewer plant's been there since the 60s.
64 Canoe?
Some port in there.
64 Canoe. I just saw the deed. It was 64. I'll tell you what month it was, too.
You got me there.
So in essence,
go ahead.
In essence, this total of $114,300, a lot of that money has already been set aside from the year before then.
Correct. But, you know, we're doing a new budget. We've got to set aside again. But I noticed I didn't include the monitoring wells on here. but I included stuff that we may not have to do, too. The only ones I really want to do, okay, I want to get a service trailer. I want to get that storage unit. I've got to build that sound wall. We're going to buy some tools. That's a maybe. I want to get that done. And again, I think I can do that for less. About half, actually. That one we want to do for sure. That's a maybe. And that one is a pretty strong yes. So we have some flexibility in this $114,000. But yeah, you're right. Most of this stuff was set aside the year before. But like I said, he set aside $102,000 and we spent maybe $35,000 tops. So we had $70,000 left.
Well, you know, if you add all those numbers up, you get $130,300.
You tell me I added wrong?
Yep.
That's what I thought it was 130.
Really? 50, 70, 80, 102, golly. 103, 108, 110, 120. Well, backfire. How'd that happen?
He's human.
He is human.
I'm not the sharpest tack in the box.
You're Mr. Math, man. I know how you...
He was off, too. He said 150.
I know. You said 134. It wasn't 134 either.
No, I said 130,300.
Well, we didn't get that high. It was 120 something, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know.
23. Thank you very much.
That total right there totals up to 130,300. I'd added it up.
That's what I said, 120,300.
Yeah. Off by 10. Anyway...
Well, really, out of those nine, you're looking at two that could be on hold.
How's that?
I mean, because the HIV. I mean, HIV.
HIV.
That's closed session. Okay.
Well, I hope we don't have to spend this, quite frankly.
unit, air conditioning unit.
Right. I'll tell you, Jeff had $75,000 in the budget for the HVAC.
Really?
Yes. I don't know who quoted you that, but...
Now, is that $22,000 going to include what to have a vent put in that back room?
No. No, just a straight replacement. One of the things that we're also talking about is the conference room is going to be air. It's stuffy. And so we've been talking about getting a quote to run vents over to that room to both... pull air out and push air in. So that would be another expense. So anyway. Any more questions on those? General services, we're going to talk about that later. I want to stay right now, especially with the post commander in the room. We want to double our revenue in hall rentals this year. Okay, that's a modest goal, but I think we can do it.
What did we do last year?
10. So we're going to. So it's a big deal to say, hey, we're going to double it. But working in partnership with the VFW, we think that we can jack this up. So we're going to really make a big deal about trying to market with our website and. Getting those VFW guys to hustle with everybody they know to bring in, kind of create the more of the word of mouth and to make it a bigger deal. I just want to point out on the lighting and maintenance, we collect money from the taxes and we don't lose any money on that. We collect a little more than we pay out.
It's a little surplus.
A little bit, not a lot, a little bit. Storm drainage, I wanted to say something too. I was in the Shaw Market yesterday talking to the owners, and I was asking them about how they're doing with the county in terms of developing their property. And one of the things that's been a big sticking point with the county and them is storm drainage. Water piles up on a property, and they were saying, the county saying, you guys got to put in a ponding basin on your property. And they're going, you put a ponding basin, we got no room. And they really wanted to call Arco or Valero or something like that and have a gas station on Shaw to get people to stop and spend more money and buy one. But if they got to put a ponding basin, there's no room. Well, they're working with their engineers to see if they can tie into the storm drain over on the, by B Street or A Street. A Street?
B.
B.
A.
B.
B.
Okay, B's got the street that goes over by the storm drain and the pipes that storm there by those curbs and those gutters are right there, so they would tie into that. And so that's their hope. Is they got engineers working on that right now.
The store owners,
engineers are working on the idea of running a line over there so that when they repave that lot, they won't have to put in a ponding basin, but they'll have to be able to tie into the... Well, that's huge. Because if they do that, that potential allows us on our other sidewalk project that we're working on is to eventually have Biola Avenue to drain to that one. Because one of the sticking points, you put in sidewalks, but you still don't have any gutters to get the water from there over to the ponding basin. But if they start that deal, that creates a line to get into the ponding basin, crossing Biola Avenue. So that could be a really big deal for the community. So anyway, storm drainage. The other thing I wanted to point out that's in the works this year, right now, Jeff put this in last year, but he calls it County Service Area Number 35. Okay? When self-help put in those new homes and the apartments, they created a county service area, CSA. So CSA number 35 is a particular part of Biola where they collect, those property owners pay more taxes than the rest of Biola. And those taxes go to pay for the streetlights in that section, the curbs and gutters in that section, the storm drainage in that section, the roads in that section, and
landscape.
Not really landscape. The storm drains pays for them to come in once a year and clean out the ponding basin. But self-help still owns that ponding basin. Self-help calls me up and says, hey, we'd like to deed that over to you guys. I'm going, yeah, maybe. Well, then I find, well, shoot, you're going to deed it over us and we're not going to collect any of the taxes to pay for anything? I don't
think so. Who collects the taxes?
The county does. And the self-help basically, even though they own the ponding basin, the county collects the taxes and the county maintains
it.
What I would like to propose is that BCSD ought to be in charge of everything.
We collect the taxes.
We should be collecting the taxes, all those taxes, except for the road taxes. We should collect the storm drainage taxes and the light taxes. Those two. And then they could deed us over the lighting, excuse me, thank you. Because we pay for all the rest of the lights in town, but we don't pay for any of those lights. So
but we collect the lighting taxes on the rest of the town.
Correct, but not there. I think they ought to send all of their we should be doing all the lights in town. We should be doing the ponding basins, both that one and the other one. That's what our charter is for. And so I think we ought to do all of Biola. We provide them water and sewer, and the trash services. I think we ought to take that off the county's to-do list. And so we're working with PG&E to find out, how much the lights cost over there, because we're talking about the idea of changing out streetlights so they're less wattage, so we spend even less. But that we, as the local municipality, we should be in charge of all that stuff. And so self-help is happy to deed us over, but I don't want them to deed it over until we got a deal with the county to get it all. And I know when I say it like that, it sounds like I'm greedy, but I just think that's it's appropriate
sense.
For BCSD to take ownership of these services in our community. And this is unrelated, but an observation in my few months here, is that part of town feels more disconnected.
It is.
And I basically, one of my goals here is to get that part of town more connected with the rest of the town.
Was there a reason why that was like that when self-help came in? There was a reason why that they had to do it that way. I'm wondering, why didn't we just do it all at that time together?
I don't know. I think it was simpler for self-help not to have to mesh.
Is that A Street or B
Street? Well, it could have been that.
Is that A or B?
Sure
it
was.
It could have been
A. Oh, no, B.
B.
It's B.
It's B Street.
Yeah.
That is A, that's right.
A.
B, C.
Okay.
I
just want to ask a question. You mentioned that we, I guess, collect the money for the lights and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered with the light, they're kind of like yellow. Is there a way to like maybe have it clean or replace the glass part of it so they can shine brighter? Because it's always so, I mean, it's dark.
I think they're just old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like old. Is there a way we can replace it then since we collect money?
Yeah, actually. I've been having this conversation with, we have a rep who represents Biola from PG&E. And she's the one who got us hooked up. One of the things we're in the process of doing is replacing all the lights in this building, the lights in the parking lot, the lights outside on the side of the building. And in the process, we should save a lot of on our electric bill for this building. But we also had to ask them about, can you review the lights, the street lights? The same thing, and we're in the process of doing that exact thing.
That'd be a cost to this community, though, wouldn't it?
No.
Because you're changing, or is that part of a service that PG&E has?
It's us and PG&E. Yeah, PG&E would basically, they own the lampposts and stuff. We don't own the lights.
But they can replace them free of charge?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're in the process of that conversation. I'll keep you posted on that. But the other thing, this last paragraph is kind of a big deal. The drought. One of the things that we're going to have to talk more about, I think, as we go on here, is how to handle our authority, I guess, for enforcement. With the new state law that came out last fall that mandated cuts in water usage across the board in California, it gives enforcement authority to the water provider, the cities, or the municipality. So we have authority to go to our customers and say, you have to cut by 30%. And if you don't, there's a consequence.
Okay. You could drive through this community right now, and there's a few homes that still have green grass, and you have some homes that have green-brown, you know. Then that means
some people are already not even wanting their grass.
I mean, there's still some houses with green grass. Well, you go down Biola Avenue, you see a couple.
But I guess
if you go through the alleys, you'll see more.
I'm going with this, though, is I'm gonna be obsessive this fiscal year on usage. We're going to be talking about usage every month, about monitoring our usage and where we're at with residential customers, with business customers. You know, our two biggest customers, by far, are Actigro and Biola School.
And he wants to increase more water.
Well, not for a while. Their plan as a company is to double their size of their output,
their
production. But there are so many things that have to happen before they do that. You know, and they're trying to buy property. They're trying to, you know, that's a few years away. But I mean, the school, they got 200,000 square feet of lawn. Okay, one water is like 110,000 gallons or 100,000. I mean, it takes a lot of water to water 200,000 square feet of lawn. So Central Unified is having this conversation. They've got schools in the county, they've got schools in Biola, and they got schools in the city of Fresno. So they're having this conversation with different agencies that supply their schools with water. City of Fresno, private wells, and us. So anyway, I guess my point in bringing this up there is this is going to be, because of the state of water in California, and this is going to be an ongoing deal. But we can mandate that Actigro cuts their water production by 30%. Okay. If they don't, what do we do? And so we're in a weird place that we've never been in before, because we've always had this real perception anyway, that we had an unlimited amount of water underneath us that we could pull out and supply to people. I was at the county sustainable groundwater work group today downtown, and you got people from all over, and you know, we don't have wells drying up, but they have wells drying up all over Fresno and Tulare County. There's like 50 wells or something that have gone dry, and you've got lots of, you know, these private homeowners that depend on wells, and they're digging, they're doubling the depth of their well. Anyway, so there's some big kind of deals, and I guess I want to make you guys aware as the leaders here that this is going to, I don't want to say dominate our life, but it's going to be a big deal going forward.
Well, you know, if you sent all the homeowners in this community a notice that, you know, they need to cut back 20-30%, then I think you send it to the business owners too then.
Yeah.
Not just the
homeowners. Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine last week who owns a company down in Visalia, and he says they use 1.5 million gallons, his company does, a month. More than Actagro. And he says, the city of Visalia said, you got to cut 30%. And they'd been cutting before they ever even asked to. And they're just going, oh, crap. What do we do?
Can we possibly send a quarterly friendly reminder to the residents as far as, you know, where to just remind them we're in a drought, perhaps remind them of their watering days?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because one of the things that I'm always, what's the word? Unpleasantly surprised. People don't read their newsletters. People come in to pay their bill, and they pull it out of the envelope, and they never looked at the newsletter.
And they want me to throw it away.
Yeah, they want her to throw it away, or yeah, when they pay for it. But so one of the things that we did recently is we went down to the post office and found out, how can we do really inexpensive mailers and mail like a card or do something that is more, that will get people's attention? And it's not very expensive. And we found out we can do a mail to every post office box. Because see, part of the problem too, we got 50-some users over in the biodiversity departments who don't get a bill from us.
Because they don't pay water. It's included in
it. It's included in the deal. We send a bill off to Auburn and somebody that runs, that pays for everything. So nobody over there gets anything from us. So we're revisiting how we communicate to people. But we can do a community-wide mailer for $100. And so our thinking is to do more of those rather than do one for that costs three times that much that nobody's going to read. You know. So this assumption that I start with, that people actually open their mail and actually read the newsletter, I'm finding out, much to my dismay, is not an accurate assumption.
That would be
after all the time I spend on those newsletters. Sir?
Phil invited me to go with him yesterday. We went to look at a couple of communities. And on the road from one community to the other, we looked at a lot of farmhouses out there. You know, they got these beautiful, luscious green yards, yeah. Flowers.
Where?
Just down the road. I mean, it went from Lanier to down the countryside to Tranquility. And out in the country, you know, they're farmers. And I'm not picking on the farmers, I'm just stating a fact that
I saw a green landscape is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
It wasn't yellow.
They're not being monitored.
Yeah.
They pay for the electricity to run the pump, and they pay for that electricity, and they can pull as much water as they want.
See.
So is that fair to other people?
Well, here again, I saw another thing that when the farmers are irrigating their crops, and you know the almonds and the vines, they flood irrigate. Instead
not
of
all of them. Though.
Well, not all of them, but more. There's a lot of them out there that do that. I mean, it's a waste of water.
Well,
Is it fair?
I think it's a substantial cost for them to put drip irrigation too, though. I think that's probably why a lot of them don't do it. Not right away, at least.
They're being subsidized to do it.
I mean, I don't know.
They're being subsidized and grant money for that.
Well, I guess my question to you is, or you bring that up in the context, is it fair to us to ask our people to cut back?
Well, yeah.
No, you have to ask them.
Well, I mean, it's a state law.
We're mandated to, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, state law.
Ultimately, there will be some accountability on all those things.
I think that'll come in time.
I mean,
but here's another point, I guess, I just want to make in reaction to that. I have mixed feelings about this whole don't water your lawn stuff. Because really, in the grand scheme of things, that's a tiny impact on ground. Because the other part of it, those guys that flood irrigate, it's going back, whatever's not sucked up by plants is getting sucked up in groundwater. You're recharging the aquifer. So it's not like it's lost water. And the other point I guess I want to make is, there's a finite amount of water on the planet. We don't lose. Water's never lost.
Oh, no.
Water never disappears. It's always within
it just relocates.
The ecosystem. Yeah. It's going out to the ocean or what it's going, evaporating, going up into the, you know, in the clouds. But the whole idea about, my feeling about this whole idea of having brown lawns being the thing to have is that's more psychological than anything else. It's more a way to get people to understand that, you know what, we're in a drought and there's a limited amount of water. And I think it's a way to get Californians in general on board with the notion that you need to be conservative and not waste and minimize what we pump up. But I mean, I'm not to say it doesn't matter, because it does, but I think it's...
The same water we use is going back into the ground.
Correct.
So it's the same as the farming.
But this whole point, you know, the sustainable groundwater, the whole notion is that you recharge the groundwater by having water, you know, those ponding basins, that the whole idea behind those is that you fill up with water and it sinks down and goes back into the aquifer. And so what they're trying to do is to manage more of the recharging in the region better than they've managed it before.
Now, are we going to have the city, are they the ones going to be coming and finding people, or is it the district's job to kind of, you know, if they see somebody watering on a non-water day?
It's us.
Okay.
We are the city. Yeah. We are the ones who have the enforcement responsibility.
So far, I mean, you haven't.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm just throwing it out there that we're going to be in the process of revisiting how we're going to handle communicating and then enforcing these reductions.
I have a question for you. How are we going to do with the apartments since they don't get a bill? How are we going to monitor?
I don't know. That's a really good question, Martha. My only answer to that just is that we have to work with the owners. We got to work with self-help to get information. And same thing with the housing authority apartments up here.
It used to be that they weren't allowed to wash cars, and now that they got the new manager, she's doing it, her family's doing it, so the residents are starting to do it. They weren't allowed to have smoke pools. She has them, so now the other residents are getting it. So,
well, we have to communicate that to the boss in Visalia. And I need to talk to you about that.
So that's why I'm asking, because I see my niece lives there, and these are things that they were.
But I can tell you, Roberto Garcia in Visalia, if he knew that, he would have a cow.
Well, then
he would not be happy.
The new manager is the daughter of where the drugs are being sold. So, okay, how do you deal with that?
Well, let's talk. We'll talk later.
But I think it's kind of, not a waste, but out of our 300 accounts, only 20 people, probably 20 full accounts are abusing it. I mean,
Right. Most of our accounts are actually pretty good.
They're pretty good.
They are. But one of the things, I guess where I thank you for that, because my whole preface in that was to say, I want to make a standing agenda item in the next fiscal year is usage. I want to give you a usage report every month. So that you've got some baselines about how we're doing.
Well, the last time we came, you gave us a pretty good show up here where it said X amount of people, X amount of, you know, hookups did this, and
right,
this.
Right.
And I was surprised that some of them were waiting to hell up there.
Well, we're going after individuals who are off the charge, and we're having, and I can tell you the one that was the worst is now, the last month was what?
She's zero. She was like under 15,000 gallons.
Yeah, I mean, she went.
And before that?
She was like 35, 40.
In 1 month?
She was as high as like 70,000 gallons in a month. And this last month, she was closer to 10.
And then she dropped to 35,000?
Yeah, well, she had leaks, and she didn't fix them.
And that's some of the problems on most of these people. They just got leaks, because if you go look at their lawns, they're not...
Right, it's usually a leak problem, and so we helped fix a leak. And you can't not fix it. And so anyway, but that kind of thing. We're small enough to where we can individualize those conversations. But I will tell you, what, there's like five bad accounts, and they're really not very many. So anyway, well, the next phase of this, what I wanted to do is I wanted to go over every line of this report. And it's 7:12, we've been going for an hour on this topic. So, and my goal is to get out of here a lot quicker. So I'm going to go a little faster. But I want you to look at the last three pages only.
Seven,
and the
eight,
only
and nine,
column that I want you to look at is the column that says
which
total. But the essence, what I'm asking you to do is
seven,
approve this
seven,
is a QuickBooks report, and it's a month by month expenditures from last year pushed into next year.
Where is
and
that? At? I'm sorry.
Page seven. Eight,
it's 7, 8, 9.
It's here, hand it.
Oh.
I'll hand it out when you're ready.
It's basically the last 2 months of the fiscal year and the total. So I only want to look at the total column, the column, the last column, and then the stuff on the left. So the first section is just income. Okay. And is the cursor work, or should I get to the end?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're
big. Can't see it anywhere.
No.
Is that, can you see this up here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you kind of stay with me, I'll use my little pointer. But over here, this is the whole income section. There's another income section in the end. But this is, you know, admin fees. This is just some of the fees we collect for the hall rentals. This is our all of our money we collect for...
Sewer water
and trash. Okay. Permit and inspection fees. Honestly, I don't even know what that is. $160. And then that's our $10,000 we got from renting the hall. All right. So we're a total of $443. Then we start in expenses. Okay. Only a couple thousand dollars on computer and internet. Bank charges $1,300. And that's... What we're trying to do is analyze every single category and going, why are we paying $1,300 for bank charges? And Elaine's going, well, shoot. We use Central Valley Community Bank. We just started a few months ago online banking, where we can go online and check our accounts and have real-time, moment-to-moment.
And they charge you for that?
No. They were charging us for stuff before.
Like an analyst report.
Because they use per people time to send us reports. We're going, now that we have online stuff, that was like $200 a month. So that's a line. I think we can cut that $1,300 down to very small. So I want to point out places where I think we can save. Communications. Honestly.
What is that?
I'm not 100% sure what that is.
We're thinking it's Sebastian, didn't you say?
Well, I thought it was Sebastian. That's all I can think of. But I think Sebastian is also our internet. And so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
He also has the line. Doesn't he have the monitoring down there?
Oh, the alarm
system. We got
system.
Seven phone lines with him.
No, I'm talking system. About the sewer.
Yeah.
The ones that have the monitor.
Okay.
Yeah, but we also have an alarm system on this building.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff, that's, I think, is our Sebastian bill. Continuing education, that's another mystery. I honestly have no idea what we did continuing education. I think it might, did we pay for, before I got here, any...
Last year, we took a class.
Board members?
We took a class.
Board members took a class.
Okay.
On computer, but we only took two. That was it.
It had something to do with, I forget what it was. It was like $50 or $40 a person or something.
Well, and Ray spent $25 on Ray to go to a CSDA board member thing last.
Yeah, but that won't come till next year, though.
Well, no, it will show up in this budget as something that reflects. But that's one of the things we might want to spend more on education for you guys. CSDA has some really, really good conferences and educational opportunities. This bill was our Jared bill, 72-7, and this was our bill for Mid Valley. So our total bill for those things, expenses, right there. This line here, I want to keep rolling, $187,851 depreciation. Now, that's real money, because it's money that basically we're supposed to set aside to pay for depreciating assets, like this building, the treatment plant, and so on.
Which we haven't done.
Well, but it's not necessarily money that we're actually going to write a check for. It's money you've got to put in a budget, but it's not money that actually went out the door and went out of our bank account. This is money that I would suggest to you in years past, that Cheryl was very proud of not spending a lot of that money. And so that money was one of the reasons we accumulated a bigger budget. Fees and assessments, that was some of the water board. Fuel, I think we're going to need actually more than that, but we only fire up those diesel
generators you're talking about.
We don't have to fill them very often because they don't come on much. But we're only talking about, you know, less than $40 in diesel fuel. There's our insurance bill, $7,700. I don't think we're going to cut that. Janitorial, that might go up. We're having issues with Mr. Sanderson, our new the guy that did the floor, because we have not been happy with the result.
Well, you can see it right here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And they sent a guy to come out and do it again. We're still not happy. But we've had difficulty connecting with him.
Mm-hmm. Has he got paid?
Heck no.
Okay.
So I figure if he wants to get paid, he's got to show up. So anyway, but that number, $2,500, could go up a little. We had to spend some money on the bids, to advertise the bids, cost us some money in the Business Journal. These almost $26,000 in these permits, again, to the state. Our membership to CSDA. I don't have a breakout on that. I'll come back to you on that.
That also probably includes SDRMA?
Yeah. No, that's insurance. That's our liability insurance. I think that comes out of that 877. Mm. Office supplies.
What's a miscellaneous? Just.
That's just a placeholder for unanticipated things.
An example?
That pointer you have in your hand?
Yeah, it'd be that pointer. Now this would be an office supply. And it just died on me. Oh well, we'll have to go with the cursor. You can see that though, right?
How about like donations like to the chamber and stuff? Would that fall under the miscellaneous?
It would. Wine tasting table. That would fall into that. $2,500 of office as a differentiated from office supplies. That's all chemical. That implies cleaning supplies.
Yeah, because I had to bring pins from home. No, I'm just.
But payroll taxes. We pay $9,100 on workers' comp, Medicare, Social Security, that kind of stuff. $3,000 on postage, that might go up if we start doing more of those specific mailers, but I don't think it'll go up a lot. This is another one that's a little bit odd because we put $23,000 in the budget, but our contract with Master was $1,000 a month. So that's $12,000, and our contract with the regular auditors out of Fireball is like $8,800. So it should. So this is a little higher than I think it's going to need to be. We're going to come back next month and approve. We didn't put Master on this one.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to approve Master continuing with us, but we're also going to need to approve.
They already approved it.
Jolly?
It was part of the consent calendar.
They did. Okay, was Jolly on there too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
No, just Lozano Smith.
Okay, he'll come back. The Jolly is our auditor, and so that'll come back next month. But engineering, $28,000.
Hello.
And here's an area where I hope to save a lot of money, right here. 16,
legal.
Almost $17,000 on legal is what we spent last year, and I'm hoping we can get that down to five.
$748.
Yeah. So that's a. You know, we're talking about some things that might go up. This is one that should go down. Research and monitoring. That's where that we pay $2,900 for that environmental test for the gas station property came out of there. But that's kind of a placeholder. We shouldn't need that much. Okay. Moving down. Equipment. Rents and leases. When the pipes at the sewer line go out, we got a rent from Mr. Roto-Rooter or somebody to come out the hydraulic deal, and it costs us like $600 a pop every time they come out and blow that out. It's a 2-hour minimum. So we paid, there's an expectation that we'll have that, and that'll probably be in next year too. $17,000 is what we spent last year, almost $18,000 on two equipment. And $26,000, that was a big expenditure here on the storage units and stuff. Salaries and wages, I want to postpone that conversation until a closed session. $11,000 on tools, now we put $1,000. I think this is a little high. I don't expect to spend $11,000. All these are based on last year's actual expenses. But here you see $64,500 on gas and electric. I'm really hoping we can get that down mid-50s. I'd like to spend, save $10,000 on this. But six at a minimum would be the goal, to free up $6,000 in the budget. Workers' comp. Here's this other income line. Special assessment. We pick up $8,569.36 for the lighting. That's the lighting tax. Okay? And it costs us less than $8,500 to pay the lighting bill. And hopefully even less than that if they replace the bulbs. Property tax, $37,600. That's going to be about the same. That's pretty much what we've been collecting for years. And then interest revenues, that's on our big accounts at the county. We've got $600,000 in accounts, and so we collect a little bit of interest from that. And this was some monies that really wasn't ours, but money that was passed through for some grants. So we got another $118,000 to go with our income. But here's the bottom line I wanted to get to. And it really is the bottom line. It shows that we're a negative $142,000 after the year. But if you took the $187,000 in depreciation, that's a $45,000 differential. So we still need to worry about that, But I guess what I wanted you to come away with after looking at each one of these things.
This is dollars lost?
That's net less, minus 142. No, it's not necessarily dollars out the window. It's when you throw in that big number for depreciation, that impacts the bottom line. We don't take in enough revenue to cover that depreciation. It's really the thought I want to leave you with. We don't.
So it's not really money coming out of your account then?
Correct.
It's more of the property.
Yes. But my goal is going over all these different lines, legal, PG&E, you know, I want to suck thousands here and a few thousands there, you know, and I want to reduce our expenditures by just being more strategic, you know, and take another $1,200 off our bank bill, all those things over time. All that stuff adds up when you put them all together. So that's the goal. But basically, I wanted to go over this line by line so you have a sense of this going forward, because I want you to be able to compare it when we have our monthly budget reports and you look at those. And I want to point out, we saved this much this month. You know, and I want to reference the line that it came from. So we're okay. We could be doing, I think we're trying to be really frugal and smart. And
when Jolly comes, I think you'll have more of a dollar base with him, though.
Yep.
He's more deep. He's more, you know. Well, you know, he goes off what you give him, really.
Well, he's the big picture guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. We had to reconnect with him because this grant that we're going for, the water system upgrade, the storage grant, and valves and all that, they needed a copy of our last 3 years of audits. You know, to show kind of how we're doing, bottom line, from year to year. Anyway, I think we're okay.
So explain that depreciation again a little bit. So I mean, I kind of get it, but I'm kind of like, because we're always, remember how they always said we're always in the red because of the hall.
The hall.
So it's always the depreciation of the hall itself.
Well, it's not just the hall.
The community
center. We own $3-4 million worth of stuff. We have 9 parcels in Biola. We own 7.5 acres out of the sewage plant. We own 4.5 acres, that ponding basin on the south side of town. We own 2 acres here. We own a little 0.3 over well 3 and 0.4 over well 4. Taken together, we own 10% or 6% or something like the land in Biola. Okay? So on those, they have a value. Ronnie Basin, we spent money at some point in the past to buy that land, to dig that hole, to pipe that stuff in there. That costs money. We spent a lot of money on that sewage plant. You know, all the roads, all that stuff over time from 64 all the way to last year. And so those are capital fixed assets. This building was built in 1994 with the Parks and Recreation Grant, and it's worth X amount of dollars. The physical building itself, the land, all that kind of stuff, the things that are on the land, not the land itself, but all the stuff that's on the land. You know, the wells, those pumps, those sheds, you know, the power stuff, all that stuff. And so there's a formula. I can't explain the formula, but there's a formula that says if you got this much, you know, $3 million or whatever it is in fixed assets, then you should be setting aside this much money every year to maintain them, to keep them highly functional. Okay? Taking care of your parking lots, taking care of, you know, the HVAC units, those kind of things. Well, but it's not money that leaves your checkbook, like the rest of these things are. I mean, you're actually sending a check to the accountant. You're sending a check to the attorney. You're sending a check to that Roto-Rooter guy. So those things are real expenses that you got to write a check for, and you have to sign for. But depreciation isn't. And that's why it's a little harder to get people's head around. Because it's just not like a regular expenditure. But it's that guarantees that in our current state of income, we're going to be in a negative, we're going to have a negative bottom line. But as far as money in and money out, we're pretty close. Yeah. And I think we can get better in the ways that I shared. So I guess I would ask for a motion to approve.
I make a motion we approve the budget for 2015-2016.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. Okay. Item 6B.
This next item is specific, and he was quite anxious for the grant. For us to apply for the grant, you have to take action on this to approve this resolution. basically, it's just an acknowledgement by the board that we're going to go for this grant. And we're calling this grant, the title of it is the Biola Water System Upgrade. We had to come up with a title, and that was my 1 second response. And so your action basically formalizes that this Biola System Water Upgrade is what you are approving that we want to go for.
Is this for the last two red lines on the map?
Yes. No. More.
This is for the water meters and everything else.
Water meters.
Oh, this is the one that you went to court, to the courthouse today.
Yes. That was why I was at the courthouse trying to get deeds.
Right. A deeds for it, yeah.
State grant.
It is a state grant.
Okay.
Not a federal one.
I make a motion that we accept resolution number 022015/02.
Those in favor?
I need a second.
We got a second.
I'll second it. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
What's the potential dollar amount on that grant?
4 or 5 million. Yeah. Well, first grant we're going for is a planning grant, which can be anywhere from 150 to 500.
Right.
And if we get that, yeah, it could be multiple million.
It'd be nice, huh?
It would be nice.
It's coming.
Somebody's lifetime.
Okay. Next section.
Correspondence.
7A, correspondence and announcements. Item A, reminder. Office closed for payments every Monday and Friday. Item B, Biola Farmers Market, the first and third Wednesday of the month through September 2015. Anyone wanting a booth, please contact Ernesto Gutierrez, 559-360-3139. The cost is $15. Director's comments?
No additional this month.
Okay. I was going to say something. The one on 3rd Street, they paved it. They didn't put the yellow lines or anything. Is it because that road has no lines at all?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's something we can call county on, though.
It's a county standard. County sets a standard. And the standard from the county is not to line that road or 7th.
Why is that, though?
Don't know.
Not busy enough,
maybe. Find out.
They consider it a country road? Yeah, but you go out in the country and those are lined.
You know, speaking of...
I will find out, because I was curious too.
Speaking of lines and stuff like that, Polycell, their trucks, I mean, they go down G Street in the mornings and man, they're lickety-split going through there.
From county?
No,
Polycell.
car sale.
Oh.
I mean, is there anything we can do about that?
It's a truck route. Howard is a truck route.
Howard and Seventh.
Third Street would probably be the best bet.
Third Street,
you have kids walking.
What's that?
This came after the fact, after we did the agenda, if you want to mention that.
Oh, that's for July.
Ray?
Monday?
Third Street, you have kids walking to school. That's not a safe route for trucks.
Third Street, that's be the last.
I know, but there's kids walking to school because the apartments, they have the gate that goes through this side is closed, so there's kids walking. Yeah, so I don't think that'll be a safe road for the trucks.
I think a simple phone call, Ray, to be perfectly honest, you just call over there and say, hey, listen, who takes care of your transportation department? Can you stop your truck from going down G Street, send them down Howard?
Yeah, and the other thing is they sometimes go to H. They go towards 8th and then they take either the alley or 8th Street and they come back on this side.
I agree with Bill. I think it's a simple phone call as a first step. They might not do it, but I guess we should try it.
Wouldn't hurt to ask. Got a Biola Community Cleanup event. Saturday, July 25th, 2015, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. That time of the year again, huh? You got a flyer.
Thank you.
You gonna send these out to the community? I mean, every resident or something?
We did.
Oh, you already did?
Came with a water bill.
The bill.
Mm.
They're kind of early on this, aren't they? Because they're supposed to be. Huh?
Twice a year.
Summer and winter.
They do it in the fall and in the springtime. Which with the other one, do it in the fall.
They just did one in the spring.
We just did one in February, didn't we?
Yeah.
Then do one in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was spring.
It is a little on the soon side. February to July is only a 5-month gap instead of a month early.
I mean, there'll still be a lot of people there regardless.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It is 7:38
right now before we go into closed session?
Yeah, take a 5-minute break. Okay. Powder our nose.
Okay.